The following program is paid programming. The views expressed on the following program are those of its hosts and participants and nowhere reflect those of the ownership, staff, or advertisers of WNRI.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Better get ready now, go get on, but don't you step on my blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything, I'll lay off of my blue suede shoes. Knock me down, step on my face, sign of my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do, but honey, lay off of my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoes.
Well, welcome once again to Dunn's Deal. This is the place where I do the dealing, and I deal them fairly. You may not like them. Again tonight, I'm going to get a little controversial, but that's par for the course. It wouldn't be a Dunn's Deal if it wasn't overdone, undone, done for, done... just completely done. So, welcome, and let me get started. Of course, I'm not a poet, and I did find out to know it, but I'm going to go for it anyhow. And this is Joe Biden is not the president. Joe Biden is not the president. He is not the commander-in-chief. He is the thief in chief, and I'll have something to say about that tonight, maybe. He is the pretender to the throne, always looking for his crown. He is the cellar dweller, living with the rats and moles. He is the king of crappers, who will change his pants. He is your highness of hair sniffers, keep him away from your daughters. Joe's the boss of bribery. He knows how to hide the dough. He is the founder of Brandon Falls everywhere he goes. He is Dementia Don, wandering around aimlessly. And finally, he is the leader of the warmongers. A finer, more gallant warrior has never been. Move over, Patton. Compared to Joe, you're a pussycat. Move over, Chesty Puller. Compared to Biden, you're a chump. Move over, Ulysses S. Grant. Compared to Biden, you're a loser. Oh, he's down again. Help him up. Get him a walker. Get him a cane. And get him out of here. So, I think I'm going to start bringing my computer glasses in with me when I do this show. Because my distance glasses just don't really cut it. It's almost like I don't need them. Let's see. So, got to hear a bunch of stuff about what's going on with Israel now. Oh! The Republicans, the Senate Republicans, did their best Don Corleone attempt. Yep. They were all bent out of shape over what's going on in Israel. No, not the genocide that I believe is taking place with Israel just wiping out all the Palestinians there. No, that doesn't bother them. What bothers them is that the ICC, the International Criminal Court, wants to put out arrest warrants for Bibi Netanyahu and, what do I have, an early call? You're going to have to hang on for quite a while there, caller. I usually don't take calls till the bottom of the hour. So anyhow, A dozen Republican senators have warned the International Criminal Court against issuing arrest warrants for Israeli officials over the nation's conduct during the Gaza war. In a letter led, or was it written? It says led. In a letter led by Senator Tom Cotton, Arkansas Republican, the senators warned the ICC chief prosecutor, Kareem Khan, citing reports that the court may be considering issuing international arrest warrants against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Got a stiff neck, so. Let's see. Such actions are illegitimate and lack legal basis, the lawmakers wrote, warning they would result in severe sanctions against Khan and the ICC. Now, get this. The letter states, target Israel and we will target you. If you move forward with the measures indicated in the report, we will move to end all the American support for the ICC, sanction your employees and associates, and bar you and your families from the United States, the senators wrote in a letter on April 24th. So, the senators are saying, hey, Khan, that's a nice car you have. Be a shame if something bad happened to it. Like if somebody smashed your headlights. Oops! Sorry. Oh, brother. It's like, there were 12 Republicans that were incensed that somebody would actually hold Israel to account. Now, I don't know how much weight the ICC actually carries here in the United States. I guess we ignored them one time when they tried to bring charges against some of our GIs. And now the Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu are ignoring the ICC. And the Republican senators, they're doing the bidding of their paymasters. That's the bottom line I'm getting to here. Let's see. Who is on here? Oh, Marsha Blackburn. I've got a list of money that Ted Cruz gets about, I think $500,000 from, not per year, but in total, Ted Cruz has gotten $500,000 in campaign donations from Israel. And Marsha Blackburn, who was one of the co-signers on this bill, not that it's a bill, but a letter, she was up there with a couple $100,000, I think, if I can find that. Natural News, nope. American News. That's for later. And Haitians. Nope. But, these 12 Republicans, or all Republicans, are doing the bidding of Israel. They're running cover for Israel so that Israel doesn't get in trouble for what they're doing in Gaza. And let me state for the record, I do not have a dog in this fight. I don't care if Israel comes out on top, and I don't care if the Palestinians come out on top. That may sound strange, but I don't. Now, I think Israel's going to win this thing. I think Israel's going to go whole hog on this, and they're going to want to try to, well, they are. They're going into Rafah as we speak, and they're going to do their best to drive the Palestinians out of there. going to try to foist them on the United States. They're going to try to send 1 million Palestinian refugees, Hamas agents, the people that Jordan doesn't want, the people that Egypt doesn't want, the people that the Arabs don't want to have any dealing with, they're going to be sent here to the United States. That should be blocked. But I don't see how it's going to happen. You know, once Trump is in office, yeah, they can be blocked then, but they'll probably be in the country by that time with Joe Biden's open border. It's not even a porous sieve. It's just a wide open, you know, it's an open border. There's no gates, no walls, nothing. Just walk across. Now, having said that, so I'm not anti-Israel. You know, it may sound that way when I talk about this stuff, calling Israel out for genocide in Gaza. Yes, Gaza, the Palestinians attacked Israel on October 7th, but Israel stood down. I'm sure they were well aware of it. Mossad is one of the best spy agencies in the world. I believe they knew it was going to happen, allowed it to happen, and there's even reports. I want to get a hold of the timeline, because the information I was hearing early on, which I believe is still true, is that when Israel sent their gunships in, you know, the helicopter gunships, that they were shooting up anybody and everybody. There was friendly fire that happened. Remember that football player, Pat Tillman, was that his name? He volunteered right after 9/11 to fight in the military. And he got killed in action, like within the first couple of weeks of getting there. He was killed by friendly fire. So this happens, but it happened a lot because Israel has a thing that they call a protocol that they call their Samson protocol, which is basically a shoot first, ask questions later type of protocol. So a lot of those people that died at that concert, and I wrote the name down, Supernova is what it was called. The Supernova concert. A lot of the people that died at the hands of Israeli army. The Israeli army, I should say. It's a terrible thing to say, but war is a terrible thing. And again, I'm not saying this because I'm anti-Semitic. And I don't even want to defend myself on that point. I'm an American. The First Amendment rules, at least on this show, the First Amendment rules. And if I want to say the earth is flat, I can say the earth is flat. You know? No, I don't believe that. But I've got the right and I've got the ability to say that. So, I've got a piece here where the ADL, that's the Anti-Defamation League, which fights for Jewish causes, calls for warrantless FISA spying on U.S. students and peace activists. And this is written by Natural News, and I think that he's got a little bent against Israel. So, it'll show when I read this. The article goes, America's Zionist contingent is so upset that American students and teachers are protesting Israel's genocide in Gaza that its members have begun begging Congress to allow FISA to spy on all of them without a warrant. FISA, FISA, Federal Let me look that up. I should know what FISA stands for. And let's go here. F-I-S-A. So anyhow, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. So this act is supposed to just be for spying on foreign actors that might be here in the United States. And if you're talking to somebody on the phone, say, who's a foreign person, and your conversation gets picked up because you're talking to Hermann Göring in Germany, and they suspect Hermann Göring of being a Nazi or something, and they may be listening to you as well. I know that's a little dated there, but no one gets mad when you make fun of the Nazis. Anyhow, the American Zionist contingent is so upset that American students and teachers are protesting Israel's genocide in Gaza that its members have begun begging Congress to allow FISA to spy on them without a warrant. In a letter to House Speaker Mike Johnson and Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, a cohort of Jewish entities that includes the Anti-Defamation League, asked for Congress to reauthorize Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The signatories on this letter constitute a major Jewish organization whose membership represents the diverse swath of American Jewry who have forged consensus on two critical matters: the safety and security of the State of Israel, number one, and two, the need to protect Jews in the U.S., indeed all American, from terrorist threats. In other words, the American Jewry believes that protesting an illegal genocidal war constitutes terrorism when the Constitution calls it protected free speech under the First Amendment. So, that's what the ADL and others want. They want American spy agencies to spy on Americans for the safety of Israel, number one, and to protect Jews in the United States and all Americans. Let's just give up our rights. Let's give up our freedoms and protection under the Fourth Amendment of not being spied on, of not having our papers and products searched through. Which brings us to a problem with the internet. And, I do a lot of work online. I'm sure you people listening do a lot of work online as well. Whenever you're using your computer, you're being spied on, or you can be spied on. They can tap into that at any time. Anywhere. You probably signed off on those terms of use things. And a lot of times, they're like a million pages long, and you just scroll down to the bottom and go, yeah, okay, I'll agree. So really what we need is a new type of computer that is just like a glorified typewriter that, you could plug a flash drive into it and save everything and put that on your computer when you're ready to send it. But if you could have like a glorified typewriter that is not connected online, then you'd be able to go back to a place and time in the United States where you're not being spied on. But that's neither here nor there right now. But the ADL wants to make it easier. He wants the government to be spying on all those kids on the college campuses. Now, do I think they're a bunch of snot-nosed idiots and that they should not be camping out on the campuses? All the campuses should have a rule, no tents, no camping out on the campus unless you get permission for some weird thing. Not weird thing, a camping exhibition or something. You get Bass Pro Shops coming in, and of course they're going to set up their tents or something like that. But the kids should know that, okay, you can protest, but you can't camp out. And if you even think of occupying any of the offices or any of the buildings, you will be arrested, and it's going to be at least 6 months in jail. And, yeah, you're going to miss the rest of the semester. You're not going to be able to finish off your tests. You will not graduate until next fall, if at all. If you're not expelled from the school, the penalty should be harsh. But at the same time, you shouldn't have the FBI spying on you just because you protest on a college campus. Again, I was there at January 6th. I'm sure they've got lovely pictures of me sometime. And the funny thing is, I've never gotten the call. Hey, FBI, I was there. Captain Shea sailed down there. He sailed on the USS Insurrection. Yeah, matey. We were there and we had a fine time. We'll do it again sometime soon. You'll know later. Anyhow, thank you, Captain Shea. This letter goes on from the ADL. This intelligence allows the U.S. to combat terror at home and additionally to help protect our strategic partners, including Israel. Let's see. Maintaining this critical authority in a form that does not reduce its operational value in a more essential... let me start that one again. Maintaining this critical authority in a form that does not reduce its operational value is all the more essential after October 7th, as terrorist perpetrators are still at large and plotting further harm to the Jewish state abroad. So because Israel is under a threat, because they've got a war going on right now and they're committing genocide against the Palestinians, because of that, we need to reduce our constitutional rights. Go to hell. Let me see. October 7th, and this is the guy from Natural News writing now, Ethan Huff. October 7th is the new 9/11. Just like the 9/11 false flag terror attack before it, October 7th, 2023 is the catalyst through which the Zionist lobby hopes to completely stamp out the First Amendment once and for all, using the excuse that free speech is a terrorist threat to the Jewish state of Israel. If that's the case, if free speech is a terrorist threat to the Jewish state of Israel, I'm going to say, too bad. It's a tough corner of the world you live in, Israel. You're surrounded by enemies, but you chose to move there. There was no Israel before 1948. You all chose to move there. We do not throw the Constitution out because you're in a tough neighborhood. Let's see. And we're back to to the letter from the ADL. In the U.S., indications of foreign involvement in domestic anti-Semitism events in the wake of October 7th highlight the need for the executive branch to retain this vital tool, which is spying on Americans. Let's see. When anti-Semitic threats are surging to historically high levels and foreign adversaries are communicating their intent to undertake attacks on Jewish and American interests, the U.S. government needs to adequately calibrate tools to carry out its responsibility to its population. No, it doesn't. The letter concludes with a plea for both major political parties, the AIPAC, American Israel Project, I forget what it all stands for. Let's see. Anyhow, Israel funnels a ton of money into our Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives. So those people who are supposed to represent us, they don't represent us, but they do represent Israel, or they do represent the arms manufacturing lobby. Oh, 6:31 already. I got to wrap this up. The letter concludes with a plea for both major political parties, Democrats and Republicans, to join hands in favor of passing the 2024 equivalent of the Patriot Act, which was enacted after 9/11 under the same false pretext of stopping terrorism, i.e. any activity or speech of which the Zionist lobby disapproves. We gave up a lot of our rights on 9/11, and I've explained before how I believe 9/11 was an inside job. You look at the way those towers fell, and they fell like it was a perfect, planned demolition. And the other building, Building 7, never got hit by anything. Didn't get hit by an airplane, didn't get hit by, well, small pieces of debris hit it, but no major pieces of debris hit Building 7, which is, I forget how many stories it was, about 20, 30 stories. That came down in a perfect controlled demolition manner. So it wasn't Osama bin Laden that took down those buildings. And no, I'm not saying it was Mossad. I think it was really and truly an inside job. CIA, FBI, et al. But we gave up freedoms after that for protection. Heroic men like Pat Tillman volunteered for military service because of what happened on that day. And paid the price for it. Let's stop paying the price for false flags. Oh, and October 7th was a false flag. Not that nobody died. That's not what a false flag is. A false flag is something that is done to allow a government to start a war. And that's what Israel's been able to do because of October 7th. And they want to drive the Palestinians out of that strip of land, and they want to use that property for a whole bunch of things. So anyhow, it is time for me to take a break here, and we shall come back for more. Oh, I've got some things over here. Nope, I don't want that. Well, let's do this. Haven't heard that in a long time.
The United States of Empire by James Dunn shows how the U.S. became a worldwide empire. It looks at the entry of the U.S. into both world wars. George Washington had warned us about entangling ourselves in European wars. Before World War I, the United States was not concerned with foreign conflicts. In World War I, we changed the balance of power in Europe. We went in to save the world for democracy. We expelled the German Kaiser and imposed our own idea of what Germany should look like. Propaganda painted the Kaiser as the evil Hun that was destroying civilization. So when the true barbarian rose to power, Hitler, how could we avoid being drawn in again? We saved Great Britain. Britain needed us again in World War II to save their bacon. We bought the hog. Now we are the empire. The book, The United States of Empire, in paperback, is available at Amazon.com.
Here's author James Dunn to talk about his soon-to-be-printed next book.
The King Philip's War in New England in 1675 defined the relations, for good or bad, between English settlers and Native Americans for centuries to come. Many of the battles are local to the Blackstone Providence area with long-forgotten memorials and grave sites. Smithfield was the Battle of Nipsichuck. The Battle of Sudbury in Sudbury, Mass. Was a turning point. Mount Hope in Bristol, Rhode Island was the home of King Philip and the Wampanoag tribe. The Connecticut River Valley was a scene of many bloody encounters between the English and the Nipmuc tribe. South Kingston, Rhode Island saw the Great Swamp Battle slash massacre. One Englishman stands out in this brutal conflict. He dared to learn to fight like the Indians did and won the war for the English. He was Captain Benjamin Church in the book, Captain Benjamin Church and the King Philip's War.
Okay, welcome back to Dunnsdale. This is the second half. Oh, and the lines are now wide open. You can pontificate just like I did for all your heart's content. And the numbers here are 766-1380, 769-0600. And for you out-of-staters, 1-800-949-9674. Remember a couple of years ago? Seems like ancient history almost. When everyone was all scared about COVID and we were all being told to stand 6 feet apart and to wear a mask. I was at a liquor store one day getting some beer, and this lady there, she told me to, you know, put a mask on. I mean, I always wore a bandana just in case if I had to, I could pull it up. But I'd wear it low down around, you know, down around my neck. And so this lady is telling me I need to wear a mask. And I said, "Hey, lady, mind your own business." She says, "I am, and I care about you." And I said, "No, you don't. You don't tell me what to do. Just get lost. Go buy your bottle of wine there." I went and got my beer. I had no time for her. Yeah, I wasn't nice about people that were demanding that I wear a mask or something. And this goes into the next story, because there's a new thing to fear that's coming up. But before I get into that, oh, and the sun's going to explode. We'll talk about that maybe. Got calls here, so let's see what's on the caller's mind. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I'm calling for something happening in the Middle East. It's not Israel. It's Ukraine. And I heard something this morning that Ukraine has reinforcements now to confront the Russian military.
Where are they getting the reinforcements from?
Excuse me, I don't hear you.
I'm sorry. I took a sip of the coffee. Where are they getting the reinforcements from?
That's what I'd like to know. Where are they getting the reinforcements? They talk about reinforcements for Ukraine. Where are they getting them from? I thought maybe you might have information on that.
I've heard that France might be sending their foreign legion in.
Okay. All right.
And maybe Italy as well. So that's a possibility. Now, if they found out that they are foreign, foreign armies, that changes the whole thing.
Okay. What's the name for that? What do you call it? They hired soldiers that
mercenaries.
Are hired. What do you call it? I forgot.
Mercenaries. But
mercenaries.
You can quit your service and go and join the Ukrainian service, and so you'd be a Ukrainian soldier. So you can do it that way as well. And that doesn't cause an international incident. But Macron, that little pipsqueak, who's probably never been in a fight in his life, is getting ready to send the French army, Poland with that guy. That prime minister named Tusk, he wants to get involved in the battle.
Yeah, mercenaries from different little countries in Europe, and they say that now they have those reinforcements. They call them reinforcements, but like you said, mercenaries could be possible.
Yeah, well, they're losing men.
They're going to confront the Russian military. They're going to give them a battle. I thought it was over, but it's not over. You know what I mean?
I heard some very interesting information from Marjorie Taylor Greene had said that everyone admits that the war is over, that Ukraine has lost, and it's time to go to the peace table. But nobody wants to say it, and nobody wants to end the money laundering operation out of there. So that's why they sent the last $61 billion over. You know, they want to keep the money flowing.
Yeah.
And
he's always asking for more money. He never has enough. Vladimir Zelensky. There's never enough.
Yeah.
what the hell's going on? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've got another call, so let me get going to him or her.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
You're welcome, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, bye.
Take care. Yeah, there's an interesting thing about that. Also heard that Russia has just taken four new towns or villages today. So Russia's still on the move. Doesn't look good for Ukraine or Zelensky. But let me get back to the calls. Go ahead, caller. What you thinking?
Hey, James, what's going on?
Hey, did I just steal your thunder there, Rob? Were you going to tell me about those four cities that fell?
No. You're talking about the COVID. And didn't that show everybody how easy it is to manipulate a society all based on fear and confusion?
Yeah. Well, you know what's coming next?
The bird flu?
Yeah.
The seagull flu? Pigeon flu?
Yeah. Alfred Hitchcock is coming back to scare the bejesus out of us.
And it'll work again. It'll work again. It'll work again. I'm sure it will.
Nah, that's why I'm trying to put the word out now. It's coming. It's false. How many people do you know in your circle or in my circle that have been harmed by the shots?
A few.
Yeah.
And several.
I'm not going to name anybody. But if that doesn't teach us that We can't do this a second time. We'd be
people forget very easily.
I don't. I won't.
Yeah.
I'll be screaming from the rooftops.
Not everybody thinks like you. You know what I'm saying? You're a deep thinker, James.
It'd be a perfect world if they did.
I don't agree with everything you say, but you're a deep thinker. You have a great show.
Thank you. I try.
I think Mossad was involved in September 11th. There's Google dancing Israelis that were busted. They had their cameras in place, filming the World Trade Center's burning, and they were arrested.
Oh, 9/11.
Somebody called in on them.
Yeah.
And then they went over to Israel to go on a talk show and say that they were there to document the event.
Oh,
if you were there to document the event, you knew it was coming then.
That artist group that was there.
Yeah, the Israeli artists.
Yeah. It had to be somebody inside, though, because they would have had to plant the explosives, the thermite, which was found on some of the steel, which they rushed over to China real fast. Just get it out of here, get rid of the evidence, just like they did with Oklahoma City bombing, too.
Another one, too, yeah. They found unexploded bombs inside the building, yet it's all, what's his face?
Timothy McVeigh.
Yeah. And we all know now who really owns our Congress. I think it's AIPAC.
Yeah.
I think we all know who, when your own government cares more about shielding a foreign country from criticism than protecting its own borders, you know your government's been infiltrated. It's that simple.
No, and Ted Cruz, I mean, he's a senator from Texas of all places. He can't.
I heard it's 1.5 million, James. According to AIPAC Watch, 1.5 million they've thrown at him throughout the years, that fraud, Ted Cruz. That's what I'm hearing. Who knows if I'm right?
It's possible. But it's
everywhere.
It's
they're funding these stooges everywhere.
Yeah. And they've got other companies. They've got cutout companies. You know, there was another story I had about money getting funneled through another outfit, another Jewish organization, and
it's one criminal organization, our government. That's all it is. Like one big criminal compromised, and they're all compromised. I'm starting to see that Epstein operation worked wonders.
Yeah, this is a organization that's attacking Thomas Massey of Kentucky, representative.
Yeah.
And he voted against money going to Israel because, on principle, he's against sending foreign aid to anybody. He's against it going to Ukraine. He's against it going to Israel. But he also doesn't want to be, you know, cutting back on the First Amendment because Israel
Free
wants
speech.
Him to.
But he actually cares about that oath that he took, right?
Yeah.
And the Bill of Rights. He actually is kind of concerned about the Bill of Rights.
Imagine that.
320 members of the House of Representatives don't care about the First Amendment.
No, they don't. They like their job. They like their perks. They've got a really nice gym there, I hear, you know. Great health care, and they don't want to lose any of that. But it's the United Democracy Project, which is the group that is going to spend $300,000 to try to take out one Kentucky representative who voted against Israel. And United Democratic Project is funded by AIPAC.
Oh, wow. Surprise.
It's a cutout company to hide the fact that it's AIPAC sending the money.
And you hear about this other representative? He wants to push. They're just trying to get this bill for the to have October 7th remembrance curriculum be taught in schools now.
That is ridiculous. And they're going to try to impeach Joe Biden over blocking part, not all, but part of the money that's going to go to Israel. And it's ridiculous. I don't like saying these words with Joe Biden's name in it, but he is the commander-in-chief. And he can direct, you know, what military money goes where or what group goes where, you know, where the fleet goes, where the 6th fleet goes, where the 10th fleet goes. He's the commander-in-chief.
That's all for show, James. They just got their $26 billion, right? And Ukraine got what, $60
billion? Yeah, $61 billion to Ukraine. It was only $15 billion to Israel, with $9 billion going to Hamas. They say that it's going to go to Gaza, but we know it's going to go to Hamas. Money does not go through Gaza without Hamas getting their hands on it.
Without the Israelis getting it first. They'll say it's going to aid. Well, we're marching toward war, man. War, 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 war.
Yeah.
That's where we're marching for.
Well, that's why I'm. That's why I'm screaming and yelling about
war with Iran.
That's where it's going to go. That's Netanyahu. I could get real graphic and perverse here, but I won't.
He's a Satanist. He's a Satanist. That's what he is.
Yes. Yeah. That too. And he wants to drag us into a war with Iran because they might be able to take out, you know, an installation or two. But he wants us in there.
Yeah.
He wants American men and women to die and for us to occupy Iran the way we've occupied Iraq.
Remember when he spoke in front of Congress?
Yes.
Saying how taking out Saddam Hussein would be a glorious thing. It will be such a positive thing. He came in front of Congress and spoke a speech saying it will have great positive effects for the Middle East.
Right, right, right. And even at that time, he was talking about how Iran is just 2 weeks away from developing a nuclear weapon.
Two seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Two milliseconds.
For 20 years.
We need to wipe them off the map.
Yeah, for 20 years, Iran's been on the verge, and Iran is going to start a nuclear war if we don't take them out first. So they haven't done it in 20 years.
Hey, have you ever seen that videotape of a big rabbi in Judaism, Mendel Schneerson, talking to a younger Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's saying that, what have you done to bring back Mosaic? You do what you can to bring back Mosaic.
The Messiah?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. It's we're living in some funny times, man. Like it's like something out of a bad comic book, and I think it's all being planned and coordinated for us.
It is. It is very
by the evil hands behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's very devilish and it's very comic book like. You know, just you've got the evil, nasty dictator, and you've got evil, nasty scientists, and you've got Hural, whatever his name is. I'm confusing people, but we're looking at a possibility.
We're living in some wild times, Mr. Dunn.
We've got to do
all
what
right, man,
we can to avoid war. Yes. Okay. Thank you for that call. Yeah, we've got to avoid war in the Middle East at all costs. Even if Israel goes down. Do you know that there was a European Israel in the Middle East in the Middle Ages? Around, I haven't looked it up lately, so I'm going to be wrong on the numbers. Maybe the 1200s. It was one of the Crusades. I think it was one of the last Crusades. And there was a kingdom. I don't know if it was a kingdom. There was the Crusaders carved out a land of Israel, a kingdom of Israel, for lack of a better word. Because none of the Crusaders were the king. But it was ruled, like with the governor, kind of like what the Romans had when they were in charge of Judea. Anyhow, there was this European Israel that lasted about 80 years. And, they defeated the Muslims back out of the land of Israel. And, you know, they wanted to reclaim the Holy Lands is what they did and what they said. And like I said, it lasted for about 80 years. And Israel's been around for about 80 years now. Let's see, 2024. 1948. Do a little math here. That's 6, that'd be 11. So that's only 76 years? So Israel has only been around 76 years. I thought they had their 80th anniversary. Maybe it was at the 75th anniversary that they made a big deal about. And the United States was here long before the State of Israel was formed in 1948. And it's possible we may still be here. I mean, we're losing our constitution. Hopefully we don't lose the country, because Joe Biden's doing a very good job of destroying this country. Did you hear him say this week about how great the economy was? But let me touch on the bird flu again before I have to wrap this up. I'm down to 4 minutes here. Okay, in a recent Senate committee briefing, Dr. Robert Califf, the head of the FDA, announced proactive measures being implemented in the preparation for potential bird flu pandemic that could prove deadly to a significant portion of the infected population. He highlighted that while transmission to humans remains low, that's the key here, the agency has not taken any chances, according to the Daily Mail. Okay, Dr. Califf reported that only one human case has been confirmed so far, a farm worker in Texas. And the worst that he got was pink eye out of it. So some guy that got pink eye, oh, you've got bird flu, be scared, it's the next pandemic. We have to watch out for this, because they are, and we've got an election coming up again. They're going to try to shut down the country, try to lock us down again, and say we all have to, the sanction in place. We have to stay in our houses. Can't go anywhere. Can't vote in person. So they can try to steal this election as well. The FDA's primary concern centers on the possibility of the virus mutating to affect human lungs, a scenario previously observed in other regions where the mortality rate has escalated to 25%, or one in every four infected individuals. Thank you for declaring that. Where has this happened? You've got this ambiguous place. Oh, it's killing all these people over there, and it's going to come here. Don't believe a word of it. They're lying to you just like they lied about COVID and the vaccines. So don't believe a word of this bird flu crap, because that's all it is. It's just like what the birds leave on your car early in the morning. It's just bird crap. Yeah, you get your garden hose, you squirt it off, and then you drive to work. Don't believe the scare stuff. Don't believe it at all. And it should be around here somewhere. I hear you breathing back there. Ah, there it is. We got it. Okay. Bye now, people. Have a great weekend, and see you again next week.
been listening to Dunn's Deal with author James Dunn. Join James every Friday at 6:05 for a unique perspective on today's issues. But for now, this is a Dunn Deal.